In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In this, the reading of this Blessed Sunday is about the meeting between the Lord Christ and the young rich ruler who came to him with the famous question, what should I do in order to inherit the kingdom of God? And the question for this young man was about to leave and leave his money and follow. Maybe this is something special for this man, something very hard. Not everyone can respond favorably to this calling. But there is something for all of us to leave. And leave is the key word in the relationship with God. This is the difficult part, where we know that we cannot follow God and be His disciples while we carry many, many things as our baggage. We struggle always try to make it to work. I want to follow God and I have my own things that I feel comfortable with. Money was the issue with this man. But there is something that we have to put aside before we will be able to follow the Lord straight away. This is our own will. إن كل إنسان يضع مشيئته ويتبع مشيئة ربنا. This is something that's very hard and we all struggle with, and it is a reason that hinder many, many people not only to follow God but to love Him, because usually we try to reconcile His will to ours, not the other way around. We want to understand in order to be able to submit. This is usually the case. If I do not know, if I do not understand, how can I trust that whatever He is doing is the right thing? Even by logic, by our minds, we come to this conclusion that His will is good, but we still struggle in order to leave our own will behind us to be able to follow. How can we learn this? How we will be able to come to forsake our own will and follow and accept the Lord's will in our life? Let us go and see how the scripture teaches us how we can learn this. The first example before our eyes that we have to reflect upon is the Lord Christ Himself, who emptied Himself even from His own will in order to be able to fulfill the will of the Father. He called the will of the Father His food. He said this when the disciples came to Him in order to ask Him and give Him something to eat. He said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." Imagine here how He likened the will of the Father to something that satisfies the hunger of Him. It should be the case for us as well. Every morning, the diligent people among us wake up in the morning and say, "What should I do today? What is the plan?" But the righteous people wake up in the morning and say, "What God wants me to do in this day?" A big difference, a great difference. When I pursue my own will and I think that this is what I should be doing, versus when I question myself in every minute of the day what God wants me to do, what He wants me to say, what is the aim, why did He give me this day to live. So the first thing, the first example, the first lesson comes from the Lord Himself. If Him who is full of wisdom, actually He is the Logos, He is the wisdom of the Father, He says that my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. How ought for all of us to think and do the same as well? The second thing we learn from is also a lesson from the Lord. He gave us the example of the prayer that we ought to pray. The Lord's prayer we say every day, we utter these words, "Your kingdom, or thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are praying and we are submitting and saying, "O Lord, your will be done. Thy will be done here, and we wish it is the same as in heaven." In heaven, no one question God's will. No one debate it or think that maybe this is not the best thing to be done. And we are praying and requesting that God will put this in our heart, that we submit to His will on earth as the heavenly host submit to His will in heaven as well. these prayers that we say every day, we have to think about it. Otherwise, it will be just empty words, doesn't make any change. We say it over and over and over and over, not without a reason. We need to teach our hearts what our tongues are uttering at all times in the Lord's Prayer. The third example, the third lesson, we will be able to learn when we see how God's people reacted to Him, when God requested something that maybe when we look at it, we don't understand why did this happen. A good example is Elijah. Elijah stood before Ahab. His presence in the Bible, the first appearance of Elijah in the Bible, he stood before the king and he said to him, "The heaven will not rain, there will be no rain on earth until I say otherwise." Immediately after this appearance and this service that Elijah did and confrontation with the king, then God requested something that looks very strange. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the river Cherith." Get away and hide. Why? "Lord, now I am in the midst of like the climax of my service. I confronted the king. Now it is time to go and promote your word to the whole world." But the Lord has another plan. Go and hide. This man Elijah could have questioned in many, many ways, "Why should I hide? Now I am full of energy and zeal. I want to serve. I want to go and proclaim your word, O Lord. Why you keep me idle beside the river for an actually unidentified time?" The Lord didn't say to him for a specific time, "Just go and hide." And he kept him there for 3 years. Very long time for this man to be idle, not doing anything. He didn't question this. He just did it. He trusted that the Lord is wise. He knows what he's doing, and I will learn later on. Yes, this time that Elijah stayed beside the river for all of these years, he learned to be by himself, to trust more on the Lord, not for his ego to be buffed up with the glory of the service, but rather that we be humbled with how God is sustaining him. He learned in this school something very important for him. God is dealing with wisdom with his servants as he is dealing with those people whom they serve. Elijah trusted God, and that's why he benefited. It is also a lesson for us to learn. If God is using you today, well and good. If he's keeping you idle, well and good as well. If he's requesting you to go here or there or to stay otherwise, just submit. He knows what is best for you and for me and for everyone. We may learn also to put off our will when we look at our previous experiences with God. How many times God proved to us over and over and over and over that he knows what is best for all of us. How many times we thought that this is the right way, this is the best path to pursue. And later on, yes, we found that, yes, it was not. Without exception, we learn this lesson. Our experience from the past says that he is wise and he loves us and he will keep an eye on us until he delivers us from the afflictions of this world. This experience should be translated into a different style in life. It's exactly as you try someone over and over and over and over, and then you should come to the point where I submit with confidence. This experience should not be like a story from the past, something that, oh yeah, God was before, he was proven to be wise, but I'm not sure about the current situation. It's exactly like God proving every single day that he will sustain us. He will provide. We will never be in need if we trust in him. And before every challenge, sometimes we come and ask and doubt, are you going to keep this ongoing or are you going to give up on us? Are you going to secure tomorrow or it is going to be too hard for you to take care of us and our children? Our experience should teach us that we should trust in him. He knows what is best for all of us. Another lesson that we learn from is when we will be able to give up, we put off our will when we despise our own wisdom. This is a problem. We all as humans, we think that we are too wise and we know everything. Everyone thinks this way. Look here how the scripture teaches us otherwise. King Solomon in the book of Proverbs, he says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." And says again, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." How I despise my own wisdom. That I trust, I really believe that I might see things as this is right, this is the right way, but this might not be the case. I need to heed counsel, I need to ask, I need to refer to someone. Not because I see it right, then I have to pursue it and do it, and that's it. This is not the case. Again, do you see a man wise in his own eyes, thinks that he doesn't need counsel, he pursues what he thinks is right? There is more hope for a fool than for him. We cannot give up on our will unless we believe that we are not wise enough and we need to learn still. We also would be able to put off and leave our will beside and behind us when we accept to leave to God the execution of justice. This is a major challenge. When I am insulted that I want to execute revenge by my own hand. This is a normal reaction for all humans. I want to do it the other way. I wanted to take it by my hand. And here, St. Paul to the Romans instructs them, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Can we do this? Can we believe that God is the one who is going to execute justice, not us? Can we put off these feelings that I have to repay evil for evil? I have to teach him or her a lesson? Can we trust that God's will is best for us? And when we endure even these insults and pains, this will be for our edification? It's another challenge. If we choose to do it, we will learn how to leave our own will. The last source from which we can learn to put off and leave our will is when we accept suffering as a gift from God. This is the major challenge. That I accept to suffer. It is very hard, very difficult, that we trust that even suffering, when I am not a reason for it, is a gift from God, and this will teach me to trust Him more and follow Him with a steadfast heart. We read about the apostles in the book of Acts when they were beaten by the Pharisees and the soldiers. They departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They rejoiced. This is against human nature. Human nature teaches us that we have to flee suffering. But here those people consider suffering, consider pain, as a reason of them to rejoice. Those people, they forsook their own will entirely. That's why whatever happened to them was something accepted. They did not try to find a reason or to make it to make sense. It is just because God accepted that, allowed this to happen. This is enough reason for us to rejoice. Not because we know why, but because He allowed it. He is good. We trust that whatever He allows to happen to us is for our own benefit. Otherwise, He wouldn't allow it. He is a righteous, a loving Father. Think of Him this way, and then we will be able to trust and leave our own wills behind. Let us go and review from how can we all learn to leave something. And to leave here is to leave our own will. Before anything else, we can learn this from the Lord who emptied Himself to do the Father's will. From the Lord's prayer that we utter every day, and He taught us to say, "Thy will be done." From the lessons we learn from God's people, from our previous experiences with Him. When we reject our own wisdom and we accept to leave to God the execution of justice, and when we accept suffering as a gift from God. Glory be to God forever and ever.